Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though if we fuck missionary and you eat crackers and get crumbs all over me, I'll eat the crumbs and say thank you. Oh, that one was dumb. Okay, my guest today is a psychiatrist and a sex therapist.
Not a psychiatrist,
he's
but close.
A socioeconomic therapist. Wait, what is your title?
Psychology. I mean,
oh, boy.
That was
this
good.
Is off to a great start.
Damn hangover.
Wait, a sociologist? Oh, boy. You're going to have to tell me the difference between all of these things.
Just do this. Just say sex therapist.
Okay. He's a sex therapist. Well, all of this is going in. I don't want any of it edited out. He's a sex therapist and something with a P, Dr. Chris Donahue.
What's up? That's the best intro I've ever had in my entire life.
I constantly fuck up people's names, people's credits. I have a touch of ADD.
But why am I single?
I don't know why I'm so single.
Yeah, I think you just said it.
Because I'm just fucking it up.
Focus, Nicole, focus.
So what is the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist?
There's a vast difference. So a psychiatrist prescribes meds where psychologists do therapy.
Ah, so are all therapists psychologists?
You could say so. Just go with that.
So so those are synonyms.
Okay. Close enough. I don't want to overcomplicate things with you.
Please do. I love being confused. God. I walk through most of my life just very confused. So what is sex therapy?
That's a good question.
Do people like fuck in front of you and go, what did I do wrong?
No, it's not that interesting. Although it is actually fascinating. Basically, I work with people who have issues around relationships or sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a specialty. Very few people even know that we exist, but anything with the word sex in it's what I do.
Okay. Are you single?
I actually am right now. Yeah.
Ah.
Just out of an engagement.
Wow. So you proposed, you were going to get married, and then you were like, fuck you. I don't want this. This is bad for me.
Wasn't quite that dramatic.
Oh,
but yeah.
Okay. That's how I would break off an engagement, just by screaming things and then have the person be like, is this a bit or is this real? And I'd be like, I don't know.
Are you dating online?
Yes, I'm dating online. I am on Hinge, Raya, Tinder, Bumble. I was on Coffee Meets Bagel, but I hate that app.
Wait, how do you have time to swipe through all of those? That's a lot. I'm on three and I'm exhausted with
which
three.
Which three are you on?
Raya, mm-hmm. Tinder, and OkCupid. And the reason why I got on Raya was because of Amber Rose, who I work with.
Ah.
And she sent a little... Because mm-hmm. they wanted to waitlist my ass.
They waitlisted me for 2 full years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Amber Rose taught me that if a dude takes too long to come while you're blowing him, you just prop your leg up and rub your clit and then look at him and go, ooh.
She taught me good blowjobs are supposed to sound like mac and cheese.
Yep. She also said that to me, yeah. too. Except I don't think she said mac and cheese. She was like, the wetter, the better, girl.
Yeah, she's
like,
a pro.
Okay.
She's a pro.
She's also stunning.
She's actually more attractive in person.
She really
when
is.
She has no makeup on.
She is so pretty. The first time I met her, I couldn't stop staring at her. And I was like, oh boy, for anyone to be lucky enough to fuck her, what a dream for you. Like, what a real treat.
Well, her boyfriend's lucky.
Who's her boyfriend now?
His name is Alex. He's a very, very, very sweet guy. She's had a very full year, and she finally found love. So fingers crossed.
Fingies crossed for Amber
Rose. She was on Raya for a while as well.
Was she?
Yeah, although she got pseudo catfished. The dude sent the photos. She was texting me. She's like, how hot is this dude? I was like, he looks pretty hot. Do it. She shows up and he was probably a good 20 years older than the photos.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's one of those.
You can't catfish Amber Rose. Also, you can't
happens to the best
catfish
of us.
If you're going to meet up with somebody. They're instantly going to be like, this is wrong.
That's what I do. I do the phone call. If I'm before I take any of my precious time and energy to show up at a restaurant, mm-hmm. we're going to get on the phone and you can assess through their voice if there's compatibility.
Oh.
Who's got time to go on all those dates?
I mean, I don't, but I do. And I go on dates
without
truly,
ever having gotten on the phone.
No, I don't get on the
phone just based on matching
first.
On an app.
Yes. And we'll text for a little bit. And then I go with a very low expectation.
Atta girl.
I usually show up very late because I'm the boss. You wait for me.
Do you show up sober?
Usually, yes. Okay. I've showed up a couple of times a little tipsy. But yeah, like, I don't know. Dating is awful and soul-sucking, and I hate it. And I really hate, like, inviting someone into my world and my life and then having my little heart broken.
It's part of the game.
I know, and it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. Who's got time for it? But you do it anyway because it's something we all want.
We all want love. We all want to feel loved. And I hate it. I wish I was a person who was like asexual and
No, you don't.
And fine not finding love.
And what would you do with all of your time? Just work?
Yeah.
That sounds unfulfilling.
I mean, yes, but it would just make my life so much easier.
Why? Why is dating so difficult? It's supposed to be fun. That's what I try to remind people. It's supposed to be fun. Sex is supposed to be fun. Dating's supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, back away or date different people.
Sex is fun. I love sex.
Good.
I do think I need to take a break right now because I've been like pretty fast and furious dating people and going on a lot of dates and just not having anything good happen. So I was like fast and furious from like October to December and nothing worked out the way I wanted it to. So now I'm taking a little siesta, a sabbatical, a little kickback and saying, I guess I focus on me. I don't know. Chris, it's all bad. It's all very bad.
I don't know what to say to that. I'm proud of you for getting out there for 2 months.
You're a sex therapist. Therapize me.
I'm trying. Well, you're putting the time in, but look, here's the thing. It's not supposed to be exhausting and depleting, so people should need to take breaks when that starts to happen because it makes you angry and resentful.
It hasn't made me angry. Okay. It has made me more sad and tired because I go in and out of town. I'll go on a date with somebody and then I go out of town and then we have to like communicate via text or whatever. And then it's like I have to split myself between my work and this person I'm trying to date.
Yeah, it sounds dramatic. Well, listen, I have a clinical practice, a nightly radio show, a podcast, a new book coming out, and I'm traveling for an endorsement deal. And guess what? I'm still talking to 5 people. You make things work if you need it.
I read something
squeeze
online that said that men date 6 people at a time. You are one off from 6. How are you talking to 5 different people?
I'm a fast texter. That's the best I can give you. Because here's the thing. Look, I'm being serious when I say this. Too many people see dating as the relationship. Dating is what you're doing to decide if you want a relationship. Mm-hmm. So dating's supposed to be numbers, a numbers game. Slowly exploring, slowly comparing, slowly seeing. My last two relationships, we went on a date, they stayed over, they never went home, years went by. I move people in.
I am looking for someone to move me in.
Well, Nicole, I'm looking for a number six.
All right. I guess I'll be number six. Oh, baby, what a treat. I've always wanted to be number six on the roster of women. I don't want anyone to treat me as number one. Treat me as number six.
Yeah, it's not a bad place. Less pressure.
I guess. I don't know. I just want to be number one in somebody's life.
It'll happen.
That's what people say, but I've been doing this podcast for a year now, and it has not happened. Also, I don't know what people want from me, and I don't know if people are matching with me because, like, if I was a person who is not in the public eye,
right.
I don't know if they'd be matching with me. And that's a weird question to ask somebody.
No, I think that there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that part of what makes you great or fun and what's, you know, going to be a best part about dating you is that component. I don't think there's any shame in that. You want someone who likes you, obviously, for you. But I think that there's something exciting about dating people that have really fascinating careers. Everyone I've dated is in the industry in some capacity, and I was happy to take advantage of what that brought into my life. And if someone said, you know, like, Dr. Chris, I'm dating you because of some of the people you get to work with, I'd be like, yeah, that's part of the fun of it. Own that.
If you were dating someone who called you Dr. Chris, I think you got to get rid of them and get down to four.
Actually, what's funny is my ex did porn, and I was once said that in public I needed to use the porn name. And that's when I started saying, that's cool, then call me Dr. Chris.
Wait, you had to use her porn name?
It was actually a dude. I date guys and girls.
Oh, okay. Why did you have to use his porn name?
That's his public persona.
So you couldn't just call him his name?
Couldn't
handle
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh. If you did porn, what would your porn name be?
Dr. D.
I love that you had an answer.
See, double. And there's a spin on that, right? The D starts to change, right? The meaning.
Well, I don't get it. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
I get it. I make jokes for a living. I guess my porn name would be Fat Little Chocolate Monster.
That's a good one. It'll sell well. Sell well.
Fat Little Chocolate Monster fucks again. I don't know if anyone would buy that.
No, it sounds like a mess.
You've spoken to me for 10 minutes now. What's wrong with me?
I don't know where to begin.
Oh, no. Okay, begin in the middle.
Oh, man. You got to slow down a bit. If this was a first date, I think I'd be a little overwhelmed.
Okay. This is how I speak to people.
Is this really?
Yes.
So if I crashed one of your dates, this is what I'd see?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I think they're leaving overwhelmed.
Okay.
And also make sure you ask them questions about themselves. It's really important. That's how people walk away feeling really heard.
I do try to ask men questions. Good. About themselves and women, because I also, you know, fucking date everybody.
Good, good.
I try to be like, tell me about you. But then a lot of people are real fucking boring.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
And you're just like sitting there, you're like, oh my God, we've been talking about mashed potatoes for the last 20 minutes. I mean, they're good, but like, why do you have such strong opinions about mashed potatoes? Actually, I love mashed potatoes, and I could probably talk about them for 25 minutes and have it be
popping. I'm actually a really big fan of potato products, but waffle fries are my number one.
Waffle fries are good because you can stack things on them, and they become like little edible plates.
I never did it like that.
I'm a professional fat person. I will make all food fun.
Well done.
Okay, so I can see how someone would be overwhelmed upon first meeting me. I don't know how to be chill. I'm not a chill person.
Really? You've always been that way?
Yeah.
What was that like in school?
Well, I had undiagnosed ADD, so teachers did not like me.
But that actually, you're bringing up a really important topic, which is, you know, if they medicated that away from you and they shamed it enough, you would have lost what helped you build an entire career.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see a lot of my stuff. Like when I was a kid, teachers and doctors tried to shame some of that stuff in me as well, but I personally built a career. That and also tattoos. Like the more tattoos I get, the more schooling and career stuff I built. So got to see the beauty in those differences.
What was your first tattoo?
a really, really, really bad one across my pelvis that I got at 16 at a house party by some girl. And then I had sex with her while my friends watched after she tattooed me.
Hey now, what a dream.
Yeah, I was a real partier in high school.
I guess so. Why did your friends watch? Whose idea was that?
It's what you do when you're 16.
Not all 16-year-olds, I'll tell you that.
We were a fast-moving bunch.
Where did you grow up?
Philadelphia. I also dated these amazing girls that would be like, we would go to these house parties, make out, and then they'd be like, here, kiss my male best friend. And so it was a lot of like, you know, bisexual swapping.
I did not have a high school experience like that. Yeah, it was just a lot of drinking and passing out.
What city are you from?
I'm from Middletown, New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Do you know Middletown?
No, but I'm from Philly.
Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with Middletown. I never heard of it, though.
I mean, it's a shitty little town in Jersey where nothing exciting ever happens.
Bless.
But there is a great Dairy Queen.
Oh, man. If that's all you got.
Ooh,
you should have come to Philly.
I love Dairy Queen. I don't like Philly. I don't like Pennsylvania. What a rectangle of trash.
Yeah, Philly's actually gotten a little bit better, but when I lived there, there wasn't much happening. That's why I had to run up to New York.
Mm-hmm. How long were you in New York?
About 5 years.
I was in New York for 8 years. I love New York, but every time I go back, I'm like, ugh, this is exhausting.
Yeah, it burns me out. I prefer LA.
I like LA too. It is a little slower paced. I work more here. I'll live here probably till I pass away. Okay, what else is wrong with me?
I feel like if you could just cover the two things I already said, I think you're doing pretty good.
Oh, really? Just be less?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that you're too much. It's just, I think early on, it could be overwhelming to someone. Yeah.
Okay. But like, this is what they're going to get if they stick around.
It's great.
All right. So upon first date, okay. So coach me through a first date. I should be a little quieter, ask questions about them. What else?
That's it. That is the entire first date.
Okay. Should I sleep with these people on the first date?
I'm a fan of having sex sooner than later.
Okay.
Because it's an important level of compatibility that doesn't just figure itself out. And I'm not a fan of people attaching or creating some kind of relationship having not explored that. Because then you end up in my office, and that's what I do as a sex therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we love each other. We think each other is really attractive. We want to build a life together, but the sexuality is not happening. And it's like, I can't make someone have sexual chemistry if they don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sexual chemistry is a very interesting thing. It's funny when you're like attracted to someone and then you like try to fuck them and you're like, oh. This is bad.
Yeah, it ruins everything.
You don't know
everything.
How to fucking do anything.
But there's people that will delay that as long as possible, as though it doesn't matter.
That's crazy to me. Want to look at my Tinder profile?
Yes. I want to read the bio. Okay, here we go. Well, I'm glad you clarified what thought means, because if you just had that, definitely a thought, I think it might throw people off. I guess you can say, okay, so here's what Nicole says. It says, definitely a thought, the happiest out there. I guess you can say I'm looking for the greatest love of my life or the greatest dick of my life. So I don't want to shame your sluttyhood, because we're very pro slut.
Mm-hmm.
I would pull out that you're also looking for the greatest dick of your life.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm looking at your photos. There's a picture of you with a gigantor dildo.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I would take the dildo pic out.
Okay.
I like you with the dog. There's two of you bent over. you're showing your fun. You're comfortable with yourself.
I mean,
you're letting people know what you're working with.
You got to see the whole body before you meet somebody. I don't want anyone to think I'm smaller than I am. That's just a lie.
I think the picture of you with the gigantic dildo, you should delete.
Okay.
And if that's coming from me, you really need to. Because I'm sex positive as all sorts of hell.
Uh-huh. All right. So I got to. All right.
And when you match with people, do they call that out? They don't mention that dildo at all.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. I think it's a good barometer, because like, if you point it out and then can move past it, I'm like, oh, OK. So like, you A, thought it was funny. B, thought it was intriguing.
Yeah.
C, you can move the fuck on.
I'm so on the fence about that stuff. Like, if you read mine, you would think it was a little more watered down than I am, in that, like, when I talk about some of the work I do, like the sex stuff, it can freak some people out. But on the other hand, it needs to, if it is, and I want to know that, because that's what my life is.
What is the sex stuff you do?
Well, I mean, okay, so I have a podcast with Amber Rose, and we talk explicitly about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I work in my clinical practice, you know, just specifically with people's sex lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really comfortable talking about sexuality. I'm quite kinky myself, so I don't like dating people that are vanilla sexually. I'm sexually fluid. That stresses people out. Honestly, I'm pretty much open for anything as long as the other person's into it.
Okay. Have you ever been shitted on?
No. I think that's the one thing that hasn't happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair. I don't think I could ever shit on somebody.
You'd be surprised.
I really don't think I could.
Even intoxicated if the person was begging for it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because it would turn you off.
I don't think it would turn me off. Sometimes it's loose. So it would just be a real big mess to clean up.
Atta girl.
That's truly the only reason. And then it's like, ugh, so now we got to do laundry? Well, did you come? I sure didn't. I was worried about the loose shit running down your chest.
It's a hard transition out of, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
How do you just go to dinner right after that?
I mean, you'd have to go to dinner before to get all the shits up in you. Eat a big old meal, maybe a little bit of cheese, get it going.
Yeah, that's a party. Yeah, you're a handful. But I think it's good. I think it's good. You know, let people know what they're in for.
I don't know how to like turn it off. I don't know. I guess I could be more boring.
No, don't be boring.
I don't know. What's the wildest thing someone has come to you sexually with?
That I can't really talk about.
Why?
Because I honor the work I do.
Do you have to take a Hippocratic Oath?
Yeah, somewhat. And, you know, the people that come to me, they beautifully allow me into their private lives. And so I try to kind of honor that.
Okay.
But I can say this. So on my radio show, people publicly call in. And that's where I think some of the juicier things get brought up.
Okay, give me some juice from your radio show.
Well, this one wasn't a call-in, but this was something me and Amber were talking about where there's a story, tell me if you've heard this, about a mom and a daughter who are not only sharing the daughter's boyfriend, but they all have sex together.
No, I did not hear about this.
Yeah, it's very 2019.
I don't think I could fuck my mom.
Well, Nicole, you're trapped in 2018.
Well, she's also dead, so I physically can't fuck my mom. Yeah. Unless I dug that bitch up and said, let's go to town on these bones.
Well, luckily you're spared that,
Yeah, that's a little wild. I don't think I could be sexually in, like, my sister. Like, I don't think I could fuck with my sister. I don't know. I think she'd be too awkward. That's honestly the real reason.
Yeah.
I think she'd be in the corner being like, Nicole, that's wild.
Is she back in Jersey?
No, she lives in Chicago and she's very quiet.
She in a relationship?
No, we both have abandonment issues. I've said this a bunch on the podcast. Both my parents are dead, so we believe that if we find someone to love us, they're going to just go away like our parents did.
You're actually where you're supposed to be. You don't, you know, in your early 30s, these days, you're supposed to still be kind of exploring, figuring things out and focusing on your career. So don't panic.
I mean, I'm in a full-blown panic at all times.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what if I die tomorrow and I have loved nobody? And like my obituary won't say survived by her loving husband. It'll be survived by a bunch of fucking friends.
It'll say nailed it.
I hope not. I would literally come back from my death to then kill myself if my obituary said nailed it.
Is it hard for you to live that down?
People love saying it to me. And people will scream at me on the street, nailed it. This dude almost hit me with a car and he's like, I almost nailed it. And I was like, you don't get to do that after you almost hit me. People love screaming it during shows. And then people unconsciously say it because it's a phrase. So people are like, oh yeah, I nailed it. And I'm like, I have like PTSD and I'm like, ugh, this is a trigger. This is a trigger for me. Because I hear it all day long.
But congrats at the same time, because that means you're part of something iconic.
Thank you. I mean, I love it. It's a great show. I'm having fun. All the crew members are married, so like, there's no love there, except for this one camera operator who I was supposed to go out with, but then he like bailed on me 3 times. So then I was like, peace out. I'll see you when we shoot. And then I can't wait to bring it up.
That's just your
Chris,
life. Yes.
We have to take a break. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a
range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like, is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Wasn't that a lovely break?
Yeah, we got a lot done during that break.
We truly did. Let's see. What question? I don't have any, like, sex questions.
Well, ask me about Tenga. You remember that? You know that nice box of sex toys you got?
Oh, Tenga.
Yes, that.
Yes, tell me about Tenga. What's Tenga?
Well, did you look at the toys?
I did. And there's a nice little cock ring in there that I'm finna to use on somebody or with somebody. And then there's those eggs that you jizz in.
Well, oh, did you actually open those?
No, but I watched a video of a man jizzing
okay.
in it.
So Tenga has a product called the Tenga Egg. And that's the one that I give to people. And that's my favorite mm-hmm. because it's the most honest, which is guys are lazy sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are lazy masturbatorily.
Okay.
Where women are the ones that are willing to, like, take time to shower or to mm-hmm. get a sex toy or to use the sex toy. Guys just want to rub one out and be done. And that's why the egg is perfect, because it's one use. There's lube in there. Mm-hmm. It's small. You can throw it in your bag, take it with you. That's my favorite one. That's what I give to guys.
Very funny that it comes in a carton. like a little egg carton.
It's an egg. Those in the cups also, they have the cup, which is also disposable. You know, I want people to care more about their sexuality, and masturbation is always treated as just like, you know, something you do as a kid or something mm-hmm. you do if you're single or don't have a partner. But it's an important thing.
I think so. It relieves stress. I love masturbating. I masturbate every night right before bedtime.
Not a girl.
You have to come every single day. That's what I think.
Do you crash at night, or do you like? I'm trying to think about your energy patterns.
No.
So you jump out of bed doing like a backflip, hit the ground running,
mm-hmm.
and then you run all day,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't just like pass out and crash.
No, I have a very hard time falling asleep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't stop.
No, I'm exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
It's very exhausting being me. But I will sleep. When I landed in New York on Friday, I got to my hotel, then like napped for 3 hours and then went out. So like I try to get my little sleeps in when I can.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just how I am. I just have a lot of energy. I don't know how to not have energy.
No, it's good.
Thank you.
It's good. It's new for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, I was dating this dude who hated that I would never sit in my assigned seat at the Arclight. I like to make up my own rules.
Like far away from your assigned seat or nearby?
Anywhere I fucking want.
Wow. Look at you.
Cause usually I'm late. So the movie's like,
why are you late for everything?
Because it's very, time is a construct.
Time
what is
isn't
time?
Real. Time isn't real.
What is time, all right. Man?
I get it. I get it. So yeah, basically you just do what you want.
Kind of.
Okay.
Also, I just, you know, before I leave my house, I have to play with my dog for a little bit. I will always find something to do when I have to be somewhere. So, like, the movie's already started, and if it's not full, you sit wherever the fuck you want.
So you do know that you're the girl that we all hate when we're there on time trying to watch our movie.
Uh-huh.
And you come in with, like, popcorn spilling everywhere, uh-huh. making us all stand up,
uh-huh.
and you're probably talking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, I talk through movies. Ooh, I love
You are actually
movies.
The reason why I don't go to the movies anymore.
Hey!
I watch them at home because of people like
yes.
you.
Yeah, you better believe half the time I have a bottle of wine and I'm going to town.
Oh my God. You're probably the one during the horror movies that at the most stressful, tense moment, which is the only moment you're truly there for, you're the one who then starts in on a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Atta girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's just who I am. I don't know. I just want a boyfriend. I just want someone to be like, I love this mess of a person.
No, they will. They will. They will. It's just going to take a little time. People have to get out of their system thinking that they want something more stable.
What do you mean?
I mean, you don't know me, but
Chris, I don't.
I can be a lot. I'm a little tired today, or else my energy level would probably be where yours is at.
Okay.
So much so that I've been on dates before where literally the next day they're like, were you on blow at the
really?
Date? Yeah, because I was so nonstop with my movement, my talking. And I realized that, you know, I'm built for people later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think you want something stable and solid, I'm not, that's not me. That's not you.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years after that, when you realize you just want something really fun and dynamic, then you come to daddy.
Ugh, when will someone come to mama? I also just like worry about entering a relationship with somebody because I'm gone a lot.
Yeah.
When I'm here in LA, I'm working a lot. So it has to be someone who's like very happy with their life and is happy that I want them in my busy life and that I've made time for them.
Yeah.
But like, you have to be okay alone.
But is it that your career has to come before theirs, or are you willing to also partake in their life and what they're doing? Because their work might not be as interesting mm-hmm. as yours.
I'm willing to participate in okay. whatever work they do, whatever they think is interesting.
So if you date a lawyer, you're going to go to their like gala.
Yeah.
Okay.
I if they wanted me to go to a gala and I was free and available, I would go. But like, I'm not going to stop my career for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to miss work because they're like, I want you to be home. I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
Yeah.
Which might be, you know, bad, but I just refuse. My career will always come first.
Yeah.
And
well, that's your safety. That's where the abandonment comes in. Right now, your career isn't abandoning you. It's always there for
mm-hmm.
you. It feels good. You don't trust that people do that.
Also, my career can't abandon me. My career is self-motivated.
Yeah.
If it were to derail, it would be because I'm not putting in the work. And I'll always put in the work. I'm always writing. I'm always performing. I'm always doing shit. Yeah, and somebody has to just like be okay with that.
Just don't hide in it. I did that for a long time where I thought I was quote unquote working hard on my career, but what I was kind of doing is just making myself not available, mm-hmm. and I was hiding. And so I was dating people and they were leaving saying that I was working too much, but I took mm-hmm. that like as an, like, oh, that's great. Well, of course I'm working too much. Like, what a compliment. I realized, nah, relationships and people have to be as important as our careers. Like they, mm-hmm. you have to find a place for literally both of them to be as important. Because I'll tell you, later in life, when you look back, you'll be glad you did everything you did career-wise, but you will be glad if you also put time into relationship. It won't be enough to just say, well, I really did all my career stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am trying to make time, but not right now. Right now, I've given up. Just for now. Just for the month of December.
Well, you're still online, so you're in the game a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm not answering anybody. I'm not.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not doing it.
So you're matching but ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're that one.
Sorry about it. Sorry. I'll come find you when I'm ready.
Oh, man. Good times.
I mean, is it? You seem to have such a positive outlook. Well, also, you got 5 bitches in the stable.
Yeah.
Or... hoes? No. What's a gender non-specific word?
Hoes. Hoes is pretty gender non-specific, right?
5 hoes in the stable.
Not if they all hear this podcast.
They'll be like, am I number 1 or number 3? Or number 2 or number 4?
Oh,
what number? I hope you get texts that are like, what number hoe am I? How do you have time for 5 different people?
Do you
see all 5 people like once a week?
No, I work like 8 a.m. till about 10 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. So it's more about if I have time during the day for a lunch or coffee, and then I just try to squeeze everyone on the weekends as best as I can. But that means I don't get to see everyone even once a week.
And people are okay with this?
You have to be. It's kind of like what you were saying. I'm not going to, you know, shut down all the things I'm getting mm-hmm. to do. It's a really fun time right now.
I think that's why I can really max out at like 3 people.
Yeah.
Because I try to see everybody once a week just because I don't know. I like having sex at least once a week. So I got to see somebody.
That's not bad. Once a week. You can pull that off.
Yeah. But it is a little exhausting because it'll be like, I only have Tuesday and Wednesday free. All right. I'll see you Wednesday. Great. We hang out. And then I'm going to get on a 6 a.m. flight on Thursday. Yeah, it's a lot, but it is something I want. So I am.
So wait, will you date us like a very overt fan? Like on Tinder, it's possible someone doesn't know who you are. Mm-hmm. But if you are doing a show and then afterwards someone comes up and hits on you, is that comfortable for you?
Yeah, but it has never happened. Okay. I mean, it's happened maybe twice.
Well, it's probably, I mean, that's an intimidating experience to go to someone's show. There's someone who's the star of something and then have the confidence to hit on them afterwards as a quote unquote normal person.
Women do it all the time. Men have so many chuckle fuckers. Women do not have chuckle fuckers.
I believe it.
I don't think it's the compliment I get from men a lot is, I didn't know who you were before this. My friend dragged me here, but you were actually pretty funny. You should keep doing this. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm so glad that you gave me the confidence to keep going. Men love to give a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Or I've been hit on by men who came with women who are obviously with that woman. And I'm like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like I was in DC last weekend and during my show, I was doing a joke about how being fat and being beautiful aren't mutually exclusive. And I said, beautiful. And this man in the audience went, sexy. And I was like, what are you doing? Screaming synonyms? What's wrong with you? And he was like, you're sexy. And I was like, great. I know. You're not adding anything new to this. And then his wife was like, he loves you. And I was like, great, cool. And he's like, I love your body. And I said, great. I'm so glad we're having this conversation while I'm fucking at work. Then he like did an outline of my body. And I was like, you just outlined Grimace. This is not fun for me. And then I like said a couple things back. And then I was like, you have to shut the fuck up. Like, you can't just talk during a show. But yeah, like, it's usually men who are with somebody and they're like, I like you. And I'm like, well, you're unavailable. Also, you're screaming during a show. You're a little troll and I would never fuck you.
Wow.
You can't scream during a show.
I learned that.
Why would you ever?
I dated a comedian and I learned that very quickly.
Yeah.
Although it's hard because sometimes you all say stuff that's a little problematic. I don't know specifically if you do, mm-hmm. but like we're at that moment now where it's hyper social justice-y. Mm-hmm. And so people are kind of like calling things back. So Yeah.
I don't think it's super problem. I talk a lot about myself.
That's why it works.
So, I mean, if you have a, like, if you find it problematic that I'm talking about weight in a certain way, it's like, well, it's my body.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my body.
No, I went to, are you familiar with the Ice House in
Pasadena? Yeah. I've never been, but yeah.
Okay. So I went there twice because, you know, I was dating a comedian and it was shocking the shit that people were getting up there saying, like, cis hetero white dudes getting up there and saying straight up homophobic shit. And I'm looking around going like, no one's saying anything.
No, and people are laughing and that's the scariest part.
Yeah. And the overt racism that still flies, like, okay, it's a combo. Number one, the overt racist stuff, but then also the lazy, we've all heard that. Like one of them was telling the Asian nail lady joke. Like number one, we all heard that for decades. Yeah. Uh-huh. Not funny, boo. Number two, that's fucking racist. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I don't know why people think it's okay to like get up on a stage and say something racist or sexist or homophobic or xenophobic.
Yeah.
But it like I was at a show where a guy was telling, I don't even remember the premise of the joke, but the punchline was essentially like black hookers are free because they're shit. And I don't talk during shows. I don't heckle, but I just said, no, you can't. No. And then he was like, oh, somebody's angry. And then he like went into another pretty like racist thing. And I was like, stop. Like it was just, I couldn't sit there. And like the audience was groaning, but like he needed to know that there weren't groans that are like, oh, wow, he went there. It was like groans that are like, I can't believe you fucking went there. So like that's the one time I've heckled during
the show.
Yeah,
because comedy shouldn't hurt.
No. And there is a line.
Yeah, like, there has to be.
It can be biting, but like you have to be able to release the tension in a way where like people don't leave a show feeling worse than they did coming in or like during your set being like, is this person like an awful person?
But it's rare for comedians to be willing to talk like you're talking. Like a lot of them defend it. And it's just so fascinating to me. There was also a guy who had a sign that listed all the problematic things he'll say in a show. And it was almost like a waiver you were signing on, you know, entering his show. Like, just so you know, I say all this messed up stuff, enter your own risk. And it was like, I hadn't seen that before. So that's at least a step forward. Not okay, but still at least he's like letting you know, I'm going to make you, you know, I'm going to be attacking all different minorities. But as I do the work I do more, and I'm very, my values are very feminist and social justice-y, that stuff is just not something I can sit through quietly.
It is, that is wild. I've never heard of anyone being like, enter your own risk.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about everybody. Like, there's comedians, like, I love Anthony Jeselnik, and he tells, like, tons of dead baby jokes and, like, very misogynistic jokes. But, like, they're very well written, and I feel like there's a whimsicality to him that you're like, I don't think he's murdering babies. Like, I think they're jokes. Like, a lot of them are jokes. But then, like, somebody can get on stage, and you're like, I feel your hatred. I feel in your soul that you're like, this is a joke based in my truth, and it's nasty. And you're like, that's bad. That, for me, is, like, not okay. But, yeah, comedy is a very... very interesting fine line. And that's why I try to talk about myself. And if somebody says, oh, your joke was offensive because of X, Y, and Z, I don't apologize for the joke because at the time I thought it was funny. But in the future, I will adjust it. Or like, I'm not going to just ignore it and be like, well, fuck you. That was funny. I'll go, all right, well, let me think about it. And then I'll stop telling the joke for a while. And then usually I'll be like, oh, I understand where they were coming from.
I love that.
Let me not do that.
Yeah.
Like I told, it's not even a funny joke, but this was like years and years and years ago. I was like, I have an imaginary boyfriend and he beats me. And that's just like, you know, an ism of where like I'm at in my head. Even my imaginary boyfriends are bad to me. And then someone was like, well, like abuse isn't funny. Like, it's, I get what you're trying to say, that like men are bad to you even in your imagination, but like women, that's triggering for a woman to hear. And at the time I was like, yeah, but like it's my joke. But then I like really thought about it and was like, oh, A, it's not that funny.
Yeah.
B, it is awful to try to make a joke about,
and you're not in that
abuse.
Joke, you're not even just talking to that one girl, you're talking to like 80% of girls.
Yes, to a lot of women who've been
that's
abused.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, yeah, of course that's offensive to people. And it should be offensive to men, too. It should be offensive to everybody. So then I was just like, yeah, I can't do that. And, yeah, it's like a lot of, not soul-searching when you're doing comedy, but, like, truly just keeping your ear to the ground to be like, is this worth it? Is it worth it to say this out loud?
And how about when you look back at your life wanting to have a legacy that wasn't rooted in, you know, oppression?
Yeah.
Like, I want to look back at my life and know I did something meaningful that helped change or progress mm-hmm. culture, not, you know, part of like Trump's America.
Yeah. I mean, we're living in shitty times.
Even in my field, psychology and therapy, it's rooted in really offensive values.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, I work with the people I work like Amber to try to just give people a more body positive, sex positive, healing psychology. Mm-hmm. Psychology is a mess.
Yeah, my therapist is pretty, like, when I first started seeing her, she was like, well, what is your goal? And I was like, I don't know, to fix me. And she's like, why? And I was like, I don't know, because I feel broken. She's like, well, you're not broken. Nobody's broken. And also, we're not going to fix you. We're going to have you learn to accept you.
Mm,
and I was like,
that's good.
Okay. So it's been like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And it has been so helpful that, like, I respond to things in a very... in a way that's like heightened. I'm a heightened personality. So like when something upsets me, like it upsets me. And I've learned that like I can be upset in the moment and I can't react, especially if someone has made me upset. I have to take some time, let time pass, and then I can respond like a human and not like an insane person.
Good.
And that was a very hard lesson to learn, but like good. It's been helping my personal interactions with friends and, you know, people I meet. I love therapy. I think it's good. but I do, like, okay. What do you think is more intimate, sex or kissing?
I actually think sex and kissing are the same thing.
Oh, okay.
It's just two different parts of your body building intimacy and connecting with another person. I mean, I think that's the problem is we tend to, when we talk about sex, we think it's penetration, but mm-hmm. Sexuality mm-hmm. is all of these all encompassing things, but we tend to make, and that's actually the problem is people think that if you don't have penetration, it wasn't real sex mm-hmm. or it wasn't successful sex. And not everyone's actually interested in penetration. I try to help people diversify their sexuality mm-hmm. so it's not just rooted in that. That gets boring.
I think the definition Depends. Of sex is, did you come?
Not everyone comes.
What? What do you mean not everyone comes?
But that's why masturbation is so important in sex toys. It helps people. I work with a multitude of people where they're either delayed, they have delayed orgasms, or they quote unquote think they come too fast. And it goes back to what you just said about your therapy, which is there's no right way or right length of time in which to mm-hmm. orgasm. Some people it takes a lot longer, some people a lot quicker. Just we have to learn to kind of accept and go
but
with
you
that.
You said some people don't come.
Yeah, there are some people, guys and girls that I work with where it takes a lot for them to either be relaxed enough to be able mm-hmm. to orgasm because it takes relaxation, or for them to be aroused enough to orgasm. And there's a multitude of reasons as to why.
And what do you tell them to do in case someone's listening and they don't come?
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately it's not as simple as just like, here's this one quick thing to do. I mean, I work with some people for months and years mm-hmm. on this. But number one, it's like, is the sex you're having worth having? Because some people aren't coming because the sex they're having is really boring and not arousing and not what they want, but they're not confident asking for what they want.
Ah.
Or there's no sexual chemistry and compatibility. So mm-hmm. like weigh in on that first.
Mm-hmm. Ask for what you want. If you want to get tied up, let that person know.
That's right.
You want to get choked? Let them know.
That's right.
I'll say it on the first date.
What will you say?
The first time I have sex with someone, I'm like, hurt me. That's what I like. Do it. You can't truly hurt me.
That's good.
Because I'm dead inside. No, I'm kidding. I'm not dead inside. But I like to be hurt.
Yeah.
And that's something I am into.
I like it for you.
Hey, thank you. You never said any specific kinks that you have.
Yeah, well, because for me, it doesn't live outside of the person. It's a very co-created thing.
Oh.
So I'm not turned on by anything that someone else isn't turned on by. So it's kind of more like, what do we like together? Or what are some things you're interested in? Let me see if I'm interested in them. But there's no like, you know, universalized ones. It's pretty
All
dynamic.
Right, fine.
I know. That's like the over-intellectual answer.
Ugh, but... how boring.
I know.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Well,
I'm the worst.
I think we've come to the end. Dr. Chris... Donahue, do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah, my new book, Rebel Love, comes out in January. And my nightly radio show, Loveline, and my weekly podcast with Amber Rose.
Yes, yes, yes. And where can they find this podcast?
Podcast is Podcast One and also Apple Podcasts, I think.
Sick, 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 sick. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes. If you send me a nasty little message, I'll read it on the podcast. I forgot to look for one to read today, so I'll make up one. If you say something like, I'll sit on your face until your ball, until, let's see, no, okay. If
yeah, we got it.
If you send me a message that's like, I'll sit on your face and I'll make you choke on my balls. I'll read it out loud on the podcast. Unless I forget to screenshot it, and then I'll make up one. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.